winds around 44. Winds out of the southeast 10 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy tonight, lows dip down to about 35. Overcast again tomorrow, 48. Mid-30s Monday with a chance for mixed precipitation. Chance for snow on Tuesday. Highs in the low 30s. About an inch of snow Monday. From the South Dakota State Lottery Weather Eye Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on KOKK. Right now, 32.
With the Saturday morning scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports KOKK. High school basketball last night, boys basketball, Class A, Class B. Regions continued with teams looking to get berths in the round of 16. Game we had on the air last night, semifinal in Region 3B. Castlewood and Woolsey Wessington met in Madison. Castlewood got off to a 7-0 lead. Woolsey Wessington played even in the first half, had one lead midway through the second quarter, but Castlewood a run to begin the third quarter, and they went on to a 53-34 win, ending Woolsey Wessington's season. Carter Mailing had 14 points, Lyndon Williams 13 points, 12 rebounds for Woolsey Wessington, who finishes their season 14-7. The other Region 3 semifinal, DeSmit upended top seed Arlington 56-37. DeSmit led by Trevin Holland, 20 points, 11 rebounds. Gage Grunhagen had 19 points for the Bulldogs. In Region 4B, Sanborn Central Woonsocket had pulled away in the fourth quarter, defeated Chester 55-42. Chester a one-point lead heading into the fourth quarter, but Sanborn Central Woonsocket had outscored the Flyers 21-7 in the fourth to pick up the win. Noah Dixon, 29 points, 13 rebounds for Sanborn Central Woonsocket. Other scores from last night, Region 1B, Clark Willow Lake defeated Britton Hecla 61-38. In Region 6A, Miller advanced with a 78-49 win over Stanley County. In AA, the round of 16 for girls last night, all but one of the top seeds advanced. Aberdeen defeated Yankton 58-34, Brandon Valley 51, Mitchell 40. Harrisburg defeated Sturgis 56-40. Rapid City Central, the only road team to win. Number 9, Rapid City Central, defeated number 8, Brookings, 51-48 in overtime. Stevens, 46, Roosevelt, 23, Lincoln, 54, Watertown, 38, O'Gorman, 61, Spearfish, 31, and Washington outlasted Pierre, 40-34. That's the rundown of scores from last night. Tonight is the AA boys basketball round of 16. Huron Tigers are on the road. They are the number 14 seed. They will play number 3 seed Sioux Falls Lincoln. That'll be a 6 o'clock tip-off tonight. You can hear the game on 1340 KIJV and Tiger 95. The rest of the matchups, number 16 Pierre is at top seed Rapid City Stevens. Number 9 Sturgis is at number 8 O'Gorman. Number 11 seed Yankton is at number 6 seed Aberdeen. Number 13 Watertown's at number 4 Harrisburg. Number 12 Roosevelt is at number 5 Washington. 15 seed Spearfish is at 2 seed Rapid City Central. And 10 seed Douglas is at number 7 seed Brandon Valley. That's the rundown of the AA boys schedule for tonight. The round of 16 matchups are set for Class A and Class B boys coming up on Tuesday, be weather permitting. There's going to be a triple header at the Huron Arena, 3 games on a Tuesday. They include Corsica Stickney and Lower Brule, Canastota and Castlewood, and Clark Willow Lake and Sanborn Central Woonsocket. No times have been set as of yet. Other Class B matchups, Bridgewater Emory will play DeSmit at West Central High School. Sully Buttes plays Harding County at Faith High School. White River will play Kimball White Lake in Pierre. Langford will play Coleman Egan in Watertown. Harriet Selby will play Timber Lake in Stanley County. At Class A, Sioux Falls Christian will play St. Thomas More at Chamberlain. Madison will play Aberdeen Roncalli at the Mitchell Corn Palace. Sioux Valley plays Hot Springs in Pierre. Miller plays Red Cloud in Winter. Crow Creek plays Parker at the Mitchell Corn Palace. Del Rapids plays Pine Ridge in Winter. T plays Sisseton in Watertown. And Bonham will play Dakota Valley at Yankton High School. Again, those matchups are set for Tuesday. Going to have to keep an eye on the weather with all of that, however. Schedule for today, the Summit League men's basketball, men's and women's basketball tournament begins today at the Denny in Sioux Falls. The South Dakota teams all getting their games in today, afternoon games today. Women's first round, top seed USD plays number 8 Fort Wayne. Number 2 seed South Dakota State plays number 7 North Dakota State. Then tonight, top seed for the men, South Dakota State, plays number 8 seed Western Illinois. Second seed USD plays number 7 seed Omaha. First round will continue tomorrow. Semifinals on Monday. Championships are set for Tuesday. I have a number of announcements to pass along. First off, for anyone interested in here on Tiger Boys Tennis, there will be a parents meeting for boys tennis on Tuesday, 5:15 in the middle school commons. The meeting is for all parents of boys grades 6 through 12 interested in the boys tennis program. For more information, contact head coach Tim Hedblom. Tiger Roar Booster Club has a couple more postseason potlucks set. Here on Tiger Girls Basketball Potluck will be Monday, March 19th at the High School Commons, beginning at 6 o'clock. The Boys Basketball Potluck will be Tuesday, March 20th, 6 o'clock at the High School Commons. And again, everyone is welcome to attend. Here on Little League has begun sign-up for the upcoming season for Coach Pitch, Minors, and Majors. You can register online at HuronBaseball.com. They'll have in-person registration Monday, March 19th, 5 till 7 at the Player Development Center at the Huron Mall. And the District 5 Umpire Clinic will be held a week from tomorrow, Sunday, March 11th, 1 o'clock at Huron High School. All umpires or people who would like to umpire this coming season are encouraged to attend. Any questions, you should contact Mike Sarda here in Huron or visit sdumpires.org for information on other clinics. Coming up today on Dakota Sports Saturday, we'll talk with Tim Budenhagen, head coach here on Tiger Boys Basketball, as they prepare for the round of 16 game tonight. We'll review the Huron Tiger wrestling season with head coach Dan McCarty. Also have a preview of the Summit League tournament going on in Sioux Falls starting today, and also a little talk on Minnesota Twins baseball. That's the Dakota Sports Saturday show coming up at 8:15 this morning. With the Saturday Morning Scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. And don't forget, Slumberland of Huron and Mitchell are locally owned and operated by a staff made up of your friends and neighbors. So for America's top brands, great local service, and the guaranteed lowest prices, turn to Slumberland of Huron and Mitchell.
Dakota Sports is committed to excellence in sports broadcasting.
And good morning, everyone. Back here on Dakota Sports Saturday, we talk with Tim Budenhagen, head coach here on Tiger Boys Basketball. Round 16 day for AA Boys. Huron will travel to Sioux Falls, Lincoln tonight, 6 o'clock tip-off for a berth in the state AA tournament. And, Coach, let's talk about this season as a whole, 7-13. You knew there'd be some growing pains with a lot of inexperience. We had our ups, we had our downs.
Yeah, we did. You know, it was a roller coaster this year, and it took some time for us to gel together and find some things that really worked for us that we could sink our teeth into. But, you know, we played solid defense. We've been in games. There's about two or three games out there that we'd like to have back, but I think that's a story of every season. But, you know, tonight's a big night for us. Throw out the records. The ball goes up. You got 32 minutes to get to the state tournament. We're glad we're still playing.
And first things first, Colby Bush will be in the lineup tonight. He held him out last week in the finale against Brandon Valley, more as a precautionary measure at that point.
Yeah, we want to make sure that Colby was healthy for tonight. It looks like he's going to be healthy, along with giving some other guys, you know, some opportunities. I thought a lot of guys took advantage of those opportunities. I thought we played well against Brandon Valley. We just didn't, you know, miss a couple layups and missed 13 free throws. That doesn't bid well for you to win a game. But we hung in there till the end, and I thought our guys played hard, and we've been changing, you know, we've been changing between zone and man, and we got a couple of wrinkles for Lincoln tonight as well.
Well, Tegan Evers, you can just kind of see his growth from beginning of season to last Friday at 22 points. He wanted the ball. He wanted to get the shot off.
Tegan's a scorer. You know, sometimes he steps back and lets Kobe do some things, but Tegan's a scorer. If you get the ball into his hands and he feels comfortable, he can put it in the basket. And yeah, you saw that on display against Brandon Valley. So we got to make sure that Tegan still is in the attack mode. And that he's looking for his shot.
You know, and when we're making a game of it there in the fourth quarter down the stretch, got a couple of big plays from seniors Alex Hill and Isaac Carr. Would have been nice to get those a little earlier, perhaps. But bottom line is, hopefully that gives those two a little confidence, too, heading into tonight.
Absolutely. Alex has shot the ball well this in practice this week, so hopefully that continues tonight. I thought he and Ike, you know, hit two big threes. Alex hit the corner three, I think, that put us down eight. And then we send, you know, obviously send Brandon to the free throw line again in the fourth quarter, and they knocked him down. But I thought, you know, 2 minutes ago he knocks down that shot. We're within eight. All we got to do is get a stop, but we unfortunately couldn't do that.
Well, now let's talk about Sioux Falls Lincoln. Just seems like they've been a kind of a familiar opponent here to get to the postseason. We had played them, lost in overtime, first round of the state tournament last year. I know they have a pretty solid group back from that last year, including one guy that's missed a lot of the season.
Yeah, Barrow has Dylan Barrow's missed almost the whole season. He's been out since the beginning of December. He just came back for the Harrisburg game. He played again against Roosevelt. Pretty athletic. Does a lot of nice things offensively, trying to get to the rim and involve other guys. So our main thing tonight is we got to get back on D. We got to rebound. We got to keep penetration out of the lane, because when you can penetrate, you draw another guy, and then somebody else is going to be open, and then that leads to easy threes. So we got to be really good and helping early on penetration, and then getting to shooters.
Then one other thing, too, you said they are going to press, so we have to take care of the ball. And I guess when it gets a little hectic like that, you just can't panic.
Right, and that's what we told the guys this week. We put about 7, 8, 9 guys out on the floor. Sometimes we're quadruple teamed, and they just had to relax, get out of that, and then pass it, make sure we're running our hands to the ball, always coming back to the ball and helping each other out, not throwing lazy passes, because otherwise those are going to be picked off and then leads to easy baskets. They just want to make you play a little faster than you're used to. They anticipate pretty well. They thrive on you making a mistake and then making you pay.
You know, and just as you look at the whole round of 16 concept here, you know, just been kind of eyeballing it from afar here this entire season. Well, now it's here. The matchups are set. We saw the girls play it out last night, and home teams won in all but one occasion. But bottom line is, I almost compare it to the March Madness coming up in a couple weeks. 14-3, 14s have won.
Absolutely. You know, we're going down there to win. I mean, we put in a lot of time. The guys have put in a lot of hard work. We're not going down there to be second best. We're going down there to give it our best shot, do whatever we can to stay in the game, and then hopefully have a chance at the end, which I think we're going to get that chance. And this is a big opportunity for us, because Sioux Falls have always wanted to play us, and now they got their chance.
You know, talk about the prep too early this week, because we were still had unknowns till Tuesday night. First off, Spearfish could have bumped past us if they had beaten Stevens Monday. Then we had to wait the outcome of Roosevelt Lincoln Tuesday. How was the prep then, or was it just more doing some of the general things till you knew for sure?
Well, Sunday, Coach Scouten took Harrisburg. Coach Kaufman, Coach Westby, Coach Scouten, all, you know, took their chance at Harrisburg, and then I took my chance with Lincoln, making sure that, You know, we had both teams covered. Monday night, we could, you know, deduct down to two teams. So we felt pretty good about our preparation. And then Wednesday, we knew for sure that we had Lincoln. So we were ready to go by Wednesday night. We had everything ready to go for the guys. And they feel comfortable with the game plan that we put in.
And just to wrap things up here, I know you've used this mantra going back to, since we started doing this thing back in the early 2000s, we'll play anybody, anywhere. All you want is a chance, and that chance is tonight.
Absolutely. You know, all you can rely now on your preparation and all the hard work you put in, not only during the basketball season, but during the summer and the fall. So, and it comes down to 32 minutes. We don't have to be good for 20 games and 25 weeks. All we need to be good is for 32 minutes, and hopefully we are tonight.
Tim Budnick, head coach of the Huron Tigers. Huron plays Sioux Falls Lincoln tonight, 6 o'clock, 5:40 pregame on 1340 KIJV and Tiger 95. We'll be back and review the Huron Tiger wrestling season next on Dakota Sports.
Remember the stormy weather this past summer? Do you remember how well your insurance coverage responded? Don't learn the lesson of being properly insured the hard way. A free insurance review with Pearson Anderson Insurance has options to specifically cover you at a price you can live with. Let Pearson Anderson review your insurance program to make sure you're ready for the future. Pearson Anderson Insurance, insuring a brighter tomorrow. Give them a call today.
And we're back here on Dakota Sports Saturday. We're going to recap the season of Huron Tiger Wrestling with head coach Dan McCarty. Huron had a pretty nice state tournament last week, finishing sixth overall, getting six place winners too, including two that made it to the championship match, but fell up there. But Dan, overall, when you look at the results of that state tournament, got to be happy about a lot of things.
Yeah, I was really happy with the way the kids wrestled. As a coach, you always want to do better, but, you know, realistically going into it, I was hoping for a top six finish, and it's where we ended up. You know, I was also thinking maybe third, but I was happy with six with the, you know, the way our season was going and the way that the kids were wrestling in that tournament. They did a really good job.
And realistically, when you look at the final results, there aren't too many things that you really could have changed. One or two kids maybe could have finished a little better in what they did, but the bottom line is you kind of knew that core was what was going to carry us to the state tournament, and for the most part, they delivered.
Yes, they did. It was, we kind of relied on the seven or eight kids all year long. How they did in the duels would really determine how we did in the outcome of the duels, and how they did in these tournaments would determine how high we placed as a team in those tournaments. And, you know, we got the seven through that we needed to get through to the state meet, and we got Sebastian Cardona, who was kind of an extra one. And, you know, those seven, they scored us our points at the state meet, and, it was good. It was good for all of our kids on our wrestling team because, you know, even the kids that didn't make it in the state meet, they still practice with these kids, and they try to make them better, and that's what ended up.
And there are so many little things in there. Talk about that sixth place finish. You were talking about that earlier this week. And we finished a half point ahead of seventh place there. So, you know, the margin was very thin. And it just comes down to one or two moves here or there. A couple of things we could have been satisfied with would have been fine. We'd have still won a match. But ultimately, the team, we would have dropped a place or two.
Oh, yeah, it was. And it was. You know, the first run we had, you know, I was kind of in the back of my mind, once Chipper got his pin and Tajay got his pin, I was just thinking that I wonder if we can get six pins in this first round. We did that way back in 06 with just six wrestlers. You know, we had eight wrestlers going, and we ended up getting six pins. It gave us 24 points, and how important now we're all lucky, each one of those kids, to get six pins. And then in the wrestle back, Danon's ahead 9-2, and at the end he gets a turn to make it 11-2 and get us a major decision. And, you know, how important was Dana's 1 point that he got for that major decision? In the consolation semifinals, or I should step it back even one more, Chipper Shillingstead is wrestling in his first round match. Chipper's ahead 20-6. He's got the guy in his back. He could just as easily let the guy off and get a tech ball, but Chipper decides to finish it off with a pin, and, you know, that's an extra half point. It goes from us being ahead by half point to a tie. And then probably the best one of all that I didn't realize till after the whole tournament was Zach Siemensma in the consolation semifinals was ahead by a major decision. he was ahead by about 12 points, and he was in danger of being rolled a lot of times. And each time Zach would fight it off, and so in the, I think it was in third period, I was telling Zach to let the guy go, just choose neutral, and Zach kind of shakes his head, and the next thing I know, Zach puts a half on and pins the guy, and you know, Zach just, if Zach listened to me there, and I just got his major decision, we'd have lost by half a point, and I'm glad that Zach went against what I said so that the team was able to get that sixth place finish. Kind of crazy how it all worked out, but it worked out in our favor.
And another thing I want to talk about, because we made a lot of it, but there's a reason for it. Now 13 straight years here on Tigers have had at least one wrestler make the finals. This year it was two, Chipper Schillingstad, Tajay Jenkins-Harris. Both are underclassmen, so I plan for them to be back next year and maybe be even a little hungrier. But it just goes to show with the program, you find a way.
Yeah, they do. They do. They do find a way. It's going into this coming season. I was hoping maybe Chipper had a shot in getting to the finals. Other than that, I wasn't sure. You know, maybe Wyatt Larson would have a shot before the season started. And then Tajay happened to move in, and you know, you're not sure what to expect with a new guy. And the way he wrestled in the first weekend at Rapid City, he kind of thought, well, hey, maybe he can do it. And then Chipper had a fantastic Rapid City tournament today. I think Chipper can get in there too, and so did Wyatt. And you know, I thought those three had a good chance of making the state tournament. You know, the thing is, once you get into the state tournament, how those kids are going to react to it. You know, especially Tajay, he's the number one seed. He's a sophomore wrestling his first state tournament. You know, how is he going to react to the pressure? You know, there's a kid from Madison we have not seen all year. What's he going to be like? It proved out good for us because Tajay was in the finals. Chipper had to wrestle a kid that was second in the state last year, same way as Chipper, but Chip didn't get an opportunity to wrestle him last year. He didn't get an opportunity to wrestle him this year. They saw each other at Rapid City. Chip was third. Stebner was second. And into the state meet, it's, you know, the semifinals, I know, is going to be a big one. You know, is, you know, could Chip beat that guy? And in the end, Chipper came through in typical Chipper fashion with a pin for us. So just to make sure that we got our two kids in the finals. And Wyatt Larson was close to it. It just didn't happen for him this year.
Well, if that was talk about the seniors, you had three seniors this year, maybe a bit of a smaller class, but yet a quality class, because all three of those guys were your leaders, all three of those guys placed in the state. So you definitely had a good core. Let's just start off with Travis Kleinsaucer, and it seems like I say this every once in a while here on these year-end interviews. All of a sudden, you're going to look up next December, and you're not going to have a Kleinsaucer in the lineup with first Tyler, now Travis Dunn.
Yeah, and Kleinsaucer's been around for a long time. It's they're both phenomenal kids, phenomenal athletes. They're really nice to have in our program. I'm glad that somewhere along the line they decided to go out for wrestling, because they've been a lot of fun to have in our program. And Travis is, you know, he's a great athlete. He's, you know, he's on the football team. He's on the track team. He pole vaults 14 feet or higher. He's a phenomenal athlete. Very, very hard worker. He's a great leader for our kids. He's, you know, if somebody needs a practice partner and he doesn't have one, he'll gladly jump in with anybody. He's just great to have around. He's very coachable. He listens. He's always trying to get better with things. So, you know, we're going to definitely miss him next year.
Then move to Wyatt Larson, a 182. Yeah, I assume he didn't get any summer wrestling out of him last summer, but for good reason. He was in boot camp, which means the kid came back in pretty much tip-top shape.
Yeah, and Wyatt was a four-year starter for us. He started wrestling in varsity in eighth grade at 126 pounds. The next year he jumped 145 pounds as a freshman, and then both years he qualified for the state meet. And then as a sophomore, he was behind Bailey Schoenfeller and Colin Simons, and he couldn't get down to 170 to find a starting spot. And so he had a state champion and a fourth-place finisher in the state ahead of him. But he made the most of it. He continued to work hard. If we could get him into a varsity tournament, he did that, placed at Rapid City in Brandon Valley. There was no complaints out of Wyatt. He just kept wrestling, doing the best he could. And when he was a junior, it was time to start again. And he did that wrestling at 195 and 182, qualified for the state meet. And kind of because the region champ has to be seeded in the state tournament, Wyatt was denied a seed, where Wyatt should have been the eighth seed, but he couldn't get it because of that region champ thing, and so Wyatt was drawn into the he had wrestled the fourth place seed right away, or third place seed right away, and you know, it was tough coming back from that when you got to wrestle the fourth place seed and the sixth place seed in the wrestle backs. And you know, I think Wyatt lost them both by a point and was unable to place, and this year he took advantage of it. He had a really good year for us. He was a fantastic leader for our kids. Kids really looked up to him. It's you know, and he ended up with a season with I think it was 37 wins and only 5 losses, and I don't think he lost a dual meet all year. So he was a great leader for us, and very great, fantastic work ethic, and we're definitely going to miss Wyatt again. We'll miss him next year.
Then the final senior is, I'll just call him Mr. Perseverance. That is Zach Siemensba.
Yeah, and Zach is, you know, kids always think that you have to start wrestling elementary school, and Zach is an example of why you don't have to. And Zach started wrestling in 8th grade. He learned what wrestling was about. In 9th grade, he got he did pretty well for us in on the junior varsity as a sophomore. He's a starter for us halfway through the year and qualified for the state meet. Each week he'd go out there, he was improving, and you know, it was just, you could just see him improve in practice, you can see him improve in meets, and we're really looking forward to his junior season. Unfortunately, I think it was in football that Zach hurt his knee pretty bad, and he ended up having surgery. He was out the whole rest of the year for wrestling. Never got to sit on the mat, but he was with us every day in practice, every meet or tournament he went to, and he was helping out any way he possibly could. And, you know, you could just see he was hungry to wrestle again. And he went through all his rehab in the summer, and he was ready for football, played football, and halfway through the year, something like that, he broke his collarbone. So he was out of wrestling again, and he could not practice. It got to a point where I think it was in January or December that he could start running, and then eventually in December, he had about a week in there that he could actually start practicing. And so he had a week of practice before Christmas, and we came back from Christmas, and he practiced over Christmas vacation. He had a few days, and he was ready to go there and went to the Brandon Valley Tournament. And I guess it was before the Brandon Valley Tournament when I asked him if he'd wrestle 220, and he kind of said no, and he wanted to wrestle at 195, and so he had to wrestle off with Gabe Rieger and lost to wrestle off, and so he went into 220, and I don't think he was very happy with it, but he won his first match in the Brandon Valley Duel, and the next day we went to the Brandon Valley Tournament where he wrestled the eventual second-place finisher in the state meet and lost a match. I think it was about 14-12 or something like that that Zach lost, but he did a lot of good things, but you could really see that he was rusty. Won his next match, and he got pinned pretty quick by a kid from Del Rapids, so I wasn't just exactly sure what to expect, but I think Zach kind of got a feel for it and said, hey, I'll just wrestle at 220 the rest of the year. And from there, Zach just took off, and he did a fantastic job for us. There was a couple times he was still learning how to wrestle that weight because he only weighed about 185, 187 pounds wrestling 220. So he's given up 30 pounds to a lot of these kids that he was wrestling. And you know, it was one against Yankton. It was, you know, the match was coming down to if he can win the match and we're going to win the duel. And Zach had a 14-point lead, just put the kid on his back, and the guy rolled him. End up pinning Zach, and so Zach loses. We end up losing the duel, but Zach learned from that mistake, and he continued to get better. And you know, when we got into the state meet, it was, you know, no excuses for Zach. I'll wrestle, and he did a fantastic job for us. Lost in the semifinals, came back, and then in the consolation semifinals is the one where Zach had the lead, and it was against the Yankton kid that had pinned Zach earlier in the year, and. No, so I was telling Zach, I don't want him to get rolled again and get beat, so just let the guy go. And Zach was pretty confident in himself and came through with a pin for us. But, Zach's really had probably, 2.5 or 3 years of wrestling total, and ends up fourth place in the state, and he's wrestling up two weights, really. So it was just a phenomenal job by Zach. And, you know, you wish that every kid that you coach should have the kind of attitude and the kind of heart that Zach does, and you know, a lot of them do, but it's a fun way to watch him go out of the senior year.
And just to kind of wrap things up, when you look back at this season, I still go back to that Watertown dual tournament there, that first weekend of the season. A few things were going on, and you kind of looked at me and said, it's going to be one of those years. Well, it ended up being one of those years where you had a top six finish at the state meet, so really things came together at the end.
Yes, they did. They really did. It was we were battling injuries all year long. We lost two of our starters before the season even started. We go into the Watertown tournament. I think we lost one other one. It was you didn't know what to expect, but I did like the way the kids competed. Even with the people that we had out, we beat Yankton and we beat Mitchell in the duel. We lost a close one to Aberdeen, came down to the end. And then we wrestled Watertown. I think that one came down to the last two matches. And if we win one of those, we win the duel. If, you know, the same thing with Aberdeen. If we win one of the last two matches, we win the duel. And so, you know, with the kids that we had, I was really happy with the way that things were going for us. And then, we got a few more injuries and, but the kids that we had left, they kept competing. And, you know, we're in the duel with Brandon Valley. We're in the duel with Yankton. We're in the duel with Aberdeen. We end up beating Mitchell at the very end. It came down to that. But, you know, a lot of times we're giving up two or three or four forfeits each match, and, you know, we're still in it. So I was really happy with the way that the kids were competing each time and, you know, kind of looking ahead to the state meet or looking forward to it. But at the same time, it was fun watching these guys wrestle. And, you know, you kind of don't want the season to end, but, you know, it has to eventually. So, you know, it was really good for us to, the way that our season was going, to come back with that sixth place finish.
Dan McCarty, head coach here on Tiger Wrestling. End of a successful season last week. State wrestling tournament, a sixth place finish, and six state place winners. More to come here, Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.